T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, it's time now to talk Giant football. Another thing that happened Thursday night, sort of. And a Paul Dottino report is brought to you by Jag One Physical Therapy. Get back to the life you love. By GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. And by CSEA Local 830, we work for you. Well, the headline in the Giant newsletter was no moral victories. But, Paul, I did look at this as somewhat of a moral victory, at least through three quarters. How did you see it?
Well, I think there's a small arrow pointing up. You certainly have to be more pleased if you're the Giants about the game you put on display in Foxborough than you do the weekend before against the Vikings at home. Then you'd say the arrow would be pointing down. But the arrow is definitely pointing up after what they did in New England. Obviously, you want to win the game. There are a lot of things that they certainly needed to do better. But that's not what this is about. This was a two-game stretch where you had to feel they'd be heavy underdogs against both teams. And so what you wanted to see were certain elements that would make you feel better that they could beat other mediocre teams down the road. And I certainly think the Giants did some things the other day that should make them feel better.
Yeah, I mean, I got the feeling the Sunday before with Minnesota that they were outclassed, that the Vikings were a playoff-caliber team and the Giants were far short of that. Thursday night, for three quarters, they held their own against New England, an undefeated team, defending Super Bowl champs, and especially the defense, which looked really good. Now, I understand New England's offense is lagging a little bit from past years, but I think they did a really good job for three quarters.
Well, consider they were down by a touchdown after three, and consider that they gave up a touchdown on a punt that hit Nate Stupar's helmet, and gets returned the other way, and then a fumble recovery, Hillman coughs it up and gets run back the other way. So those are two touchdowns you certainly can't blame the defense for. They had nothing to do with them. So, yes, I would agree with you, albeit a muted Patriots offense that was not at full strength. The Giants were right in that game, and you have to give those guys a lot of credit for stepping up, because I thought that after what they put on the field against the Vikes, this was without question another couple of notches higher in intensity and in execution, even though, again, they gave up over 300 yards to Brady.
Yeah, well, they're not the first team that's done that.
No, they're not.
and the funny thing is, I'm watching the game and I'm going, especially in the early part of the game, I'm going, well, he's 42 years old and he's finally showing his age. You know, he's throwing some passes into the ground. He's missing some receivers. He get the strip sack and all of that. And I thought, okay, maybe sundown is not in the too distant future. And then he reels off, 15 in a row? And looks like the old Tom Brady at the end. So, you can't write the guy off yet, can you?
No, not at all. I think there are two factors that really helped the Giants kind of get him a little bit discombobulated in the first half. One was the wind. I'm not going to tell you otherwise, Richard, because the wind did play some tricks with the ball in the first half for both quarterbacks as they tried to get it downfield. It had an impact in the game. In fact, it's funny because the Giants were down by a score going into the fourth quarter, and it just seemed as though somebody hit a switch. Maybe Belichick did, and killed the wind in the fourth quarter. And all of a sudden, you could see that Brady was a lot more effective. So, yes, the weather did have something to do with keeping the efficiency down. But the other thing that I thought, and we've been talking about this since the second half of the Buffalo game, the Giants' pass rush is finally starting to bear some fruit. Now, they're still a bit inconsistent. They're not getting there all the time. But there's no question, the Giants, from having virtually no pass rush last year, now have a middle-of-the-pack pass rush that is improving and getting better week by week. That's a very positive sign.
Yeah, and as Jenkins pointed out a while back, you know, the secondary can't cover guys forever. So this is a situation where you're helping your secondary and making the entire defense look a whole lot better when you put pressure on the opposing quarterback. Jenkins, by the way, I thought had a good game, and then he made a very, very dumb penalty, which extended a drive and really hurt them.
Well, they did call him for a hold on a fourth down that allowed a conversion for New England. Richard, I was on the field. I did not see the penalty.
Yeah, it's pretty blatant. It was real.
Yeah. So, I think, again, now you'll have to tell me because you were watching the replay and I have not reviewed the coach's tape yet. It seemed to me that it was out of the play and away from the play.
It was.
Okay. So, again, you get into that whole situation where judgment call and, you know, was it relevant? Should it have been done? Should it not have been done? And then again, the bottom line is you just don't do it in the first place. And then they can't throw the flag whether or not you think it was a good judgment call or otherwise. But yeah, I do think that Jack Rabbit, since that game he had several weeks ago in Tampa, when Mike Evans really, really gave him a hard time, he has certainly played much better.
Well, you bring up the calls, and I have to say, I don't think it would have made a difference in the outcome of a game. But
no.
If you are going to allow pass interference to be challenged, you got to call it when it's there. I mean, it was so blatant. You know, they say, well, it's got to be game-changing. We can't have the wrong team going to the Super Bowl. Then change the rule. But, I mean, clearly, when you're grabbing a guy from behind and you got his arms and the ball is still in the air and you're impeding him from catching the ball, how is that not pass interference?
Well, Richard, I'm one of those who wants to take a big bottle of white out and just get rid of the rule. Because, to me, it's a mockery and a joke. We have seen too many times that call has not been executed properly. It has not been interpreted properly, and it just causes more problems than what it's worth. Think about how many people have had a right to gripe about either an overturn or a not overturn compared to the number of people who were upset about that call in the Saints playoff game last year. I think they've magnified the problem many times over by putting in a rule that they refuse to legislate properly.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a Super Bowl situation, so I get why they thought they needed to do something. To Daniel Jones, I mean, the three picks, obviously not good, but I think one of the things, and this is with a rookie quarterback, you got to learn when to just get rid of the ball and take, you know, just throw it away instead of trying to make a play happen. And you know, it's a real fine line because, you know, you can make those miracle hero plays and win games with them. But on the other hand, you hold the ball too long and you get strip sacked or intercepted and it kills you.
Yeah, you know, we keep forgetting because he checked all the boxes during training camp and the preseason and then he wins his first two games. It's so easy for people to forget that he's still a rookie. I know he played three full seasons at Duke, and he's done a lot of really, really exciting things, but he's still a rookie. And those rookie mistakes and those beatings and those, you know, head-scratching occasional decisions he's going to make, those are going to be there. And, you know, you got to live through it. Go back to the tapes of Troy Aikman, his first year with Dallas. Back to Eli's first year when he relieved Kurt Warner, and watch those games and you'll see stuff that you'll be like, wow, how could he have been that bad and then turned out that good? Well, that's part of the process. This is quite frankly why a rookie quarterback should sit for an entire year, be a red shirt, be a sponge. He'll be better off if he sits for a year and then gets to play in year two. But that's a generic philosophical statement, not necessarily related to Daniel Jones. Point is, every rookie quarterback, except a Brady, they usually have to take their lumps.
Yeah, even the great Peyton Manning had to. Sure.
Sure.
We're out of time, Paul, but thank you, and enjoy the weekend off, finally, and let's get back into action against Arizona the following week.
Well, wish I could, Richard. I'm going back up to Rhode Island. I got a college game today.
Okay, well, well, you'll have Sunday.
Be well. Right.
Paul DiTino, Giants football.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.